The title of this morning's address is The Tower of Babel. And of course, the story comes from the Old Testament. To us modern people, the story seems redundant. We regard it probably as a primitive explanation for the existence of the many languages that exist. I wonder if you, like me, have a mental image from your childhood of what the Tower of Babel looked like. We never read the Bible, we learned it from stories, from an anthology of Bible stories. So we learned a slightly different version of the story of the Tower of Babel. But in my imagination, my tower was always standing on its own, rather like a huge big bottle tower with steps around the outside of it. However, when you read the Bible, it's slightly different. And today, archaeologists claim to have excavated the tower, and it is in a city, and it's square. That never entered into my head, it might be square. Some of the Bible stories are based in fact, in historic fact, but others are not. However, the writers of those stories were absolutely wonderful storytellers, because they tell us the stories of the human condition. And those stories are always true. And we, the children of the Enlightenment, might need to sit with these stories and be patient, because if we are, they will reveal insights into the human condition. The story in the Old Testament comes just after the story of the flood. The people wanted to build a tower that would reach to heaven, and that there would be a refuge in case of further flood. That's what we were told at school. However, the Bible does say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with the top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth." So in the Bible, there is no actual mention of it being a place of safety. However, I have to say that the idea of that they may have built it as a refuge in case of another flood does sit well with me. Of course, we know what happened. God thwarted their plans by introducing the confusion of different languages. And when the people were no longer able to communicate, they went their separate ways. They split into different groups. Cooperation stopped when people were no longer communicating. In Ireland, there's a lovely old saying, "Scó a chéile, a bhfuarann a daoine." Our connections with other people are the source of our well-being. We all exist on one another's shadow. Together, we survive. The story of Helen Keller, who became deaf-blind at the age of 19 months, shows the importance of communication and connection. Of the breakthrough day when the child Helen realized that the signs she was learning and feeling on her hands were a way to communicate, this is what she wrote about that in later life. She said, "The living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, and set it free." And she referred to the day that she met her teacher. Throughout her life, she referred to that day as the birthday of my soul. That tells us how important communication is for humans. And of course, thanks to modern technology and the gift of the Unitarian Tim Berners-Lee, we live in a world where communications have never been easier or cheaper. They cost us very little money. Not that long ago, emigration broke family ties to the extent that when someone was emigrating, they held an American wake for them. most emigrated to America. It was called an American wake because the lack of communication between the emigrant and the family was akin to a death in that family. But now we can speak to others in real time, to people anywhere in the world. Are people who join our service from many different locations. Remember one time we had a reading done from America and we could see the reader and she could see us. Modern technology was a lifeline during COVID lockdown. But remember how delighted we were when services resumed to their formal meeting in person, and particularly the sharing of the cup of tea downstairs afterwards. Modern communication is made more easy even by the fact that mobile phones can translate between languages. So in theory, we should be experiencing an unrivaled time of global cooperation. But instead, we are living in a world of division, mistrust, fake news, and misinformation. And while words are an important means of communication, we have to remember that we communicate in ways other than how we speak and what we say. These other ways are more ancient, they're more subtle, they are far more effective than words. Languages may be unique to humans, but all living things communicate. Mammals, birds, fish communicate. We're even beginning to know that trees communicate with one another, something we would have laughed at not that very long ago. Speech is a sophisticated form of communication. However, those earlier forms are still very much in us, and we use them possibly unconsciously. We communicate it with hand gestures, with eye contact, with our face muscles. Just think of the difference between the muscles you use to frown and the muscles you use to smile. Think of how important is physical posture. You know, if you meet somebody who's up like this, you know, you're not in a good humor. They don't have to say anything. Posture is important. How we portray a sit and how we feel relaxed or unrelaxed. Think of how breath is important. A sigh of exasperation, a gasp of pleasure. Think how a yawn communicates boredom. And interestingly, yawns are contagious. If they really are, and even talking about them makes you think you want to yawn. I see, I bet you're all thinking that. It really is. And touch is another one. I was asked to officiate at a lovely funeral one time. It was an older man, and he had been married for many years to a lovely woman. And they lived in Prague during communist times. And her husband, they were a happy family. She was married. They had one daughter. And they were thinking of adding to their family. When her husband was arrested and accused of spying, he was tried. He was found guilty. She had to keep her job going because she was responsible for supporting her child. And she went into work the next day. She was a teacher. And she said that staff room tables were covered with the newspapers proclaiming her husband a traitor and a spy. And he was sentenced to 8 years in a uranium mine. And she was, blocked by everybody in the staff room. No one spoke to her. She said one member of staff surreptitiously managed to squeeze her arm. And what she said to me was, she says, I lived on that touch for 8 years. Just that touch, she said, that kept her going for 8 years. So touch is such an important part of communication. What about telling lies? When you look at the studies about lies, seemingly lies come and go in our lives to a greater or lesser extent. Young children cannot lie. They just cannot lie. They'll always say what they see and speak it out. Teenagers lie all the time. 99.9% of teenagers lie 99% of the time to their parents. The good news is that at our stage of life, most of us have grown out of the lying. We go back to telling the truth. And we have to remember, too, that sometimes lies are told to protect us. You know, somebody buys a new coat. There's no point in saying, God, I think that's awful looking. You know, you just say, oh, that's grand. You know, it's grand. You know, it's just sometimes kinder not to be bluntly truthful. And of course, a recent addition to the subject of lies and misinformation is alternative facts that we've all become aware of. The truth is, though, when someone tells a lie, observers trained in the study of body language can always detect the lie. The human body is the repository for ancient ways of communication. And our bodies cannot lie. They will always give it away. It may be just the raising of a shoulder, the blink of an eye, the movement of a single muscle, a blush of color, shaking their head while they affirm something. That's another giveaway. We may lie with our words, but our body will always betray us. And while most of us are not formally trained in reading body language, we all have the skill to some extent or other. And I think that's where modern communication is falling down, because technology lacks the subtlety of body language. It lacks the myriad signals we use to communicate with body language as we do in person. Another thing we forget in these modern times, that communication is a two-way process. It involves listening and hearing the other person. Hearing what they say and maybe hearing what they don't say. Because very often, instead of listening while the other person speaks, we're just looking for the opportunity or putting together in our heads what we're going to say, or wondering how we can break into their flow of talk to put our point across. Technology has expanded our ability to exchange words, but it still falls down on the communications. And the drawbacks are just beginning to emerge, the drawbacks of technology. Drawbacks include misinformation, the ability of outsiders to influence opinions, interruption of sleep patterns, hampering our ability to concentrate. Perhaps the biggest drawback that we know of so far is that it causes social isolation. People are so busy on their phones, they are not talking to one another. And that is ironic, because it was what was meant to keep us in touch. I was on the bus there a few weeks ago, and I actually forgot to press the bell for my stop because I was so involved in looking at an adult and a child on the phone. The child was in a buggy, but possibly a little bit big for a buggy, but he had a very fluent speaking skills. And the child was saying to the adult, "Talk to me." And he just kept saying, "Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me." The adult was just doing this, flicking on the phone. And eventually she said, "Stop that." She didn't look up from the phone. I nearly interfered. I nearly went to say something. And I thought, gee, you can't, you know. But I missed my bus stop as a result. But that's just an example of something that's meant to keep us connected is isolating us. Every religion, all spiritual paths, teach that love and compassion as their basis. The Buddha taught his followers to have compassion for all living beings. Love one another is the great commandment of Jesus. But we can only love people when we know them. And we can only know them when we hear their story, when we hear the other story. And when we hear the human story, strangers are no longer statistics. They become real. They become our brothers and sisters. People just like you and me, sharing this world, sharing their dreams and their hopes, just like us. The teaching of the great spiritual leaders is not being heard at political rallies or in sound bites from social media. They're not found on Facebook. They are still spoken in churches, but very often they echo to the empty spaces. But when these words get a hearing, they still have the ability to jolt us. And we saw that with the gently spoken words of Bishop Marion Budd when she asked the American president to show mercy for people who were suffering. Those words stopped people in their track. So let's remember to communicate with the people around us. Look at one another, listen to one another, and see in each person the reflection of the divine spark that is in every one of us. See your brothers and sisters who happen to share the earth with us. Amen.